with the sweep and fury of the resurrection. There's a new world a-coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs dramatizing the inner meaning of Negro life, based on the prize-winning bestseller New World A-Coming by Roy Ottley, starring Hazel Scott and her piano, and as narrator, Canada Lee. Today, the story of the Negro in the so-called easy field for success, entertainment.
This is Canada Lee, friends. I know you've all heard the names of the great Negro entertainers such as Bill Robinson, Buck and Bubbles, Cab Calloway, Ethel Waters, and Duke Ellington. These names stand at the top of the entertainment field. Their stories are success stories. The entertainment field is supposedly one of the easy fields for the Negro to enter and make a place for himself. There are more than a million people who earn a living in the entertainment industry. But did you know that of this number, only a few thousand are Negro? There must be a reason. Let's begin at the very beginning.
Well, Doctor, success.
Yes, nurse. Easy case. It's a boy.
A beautiful, healthy boy. With the smoothest skin.
A child is born to Mr. and Mrs. Jones. This child is black. If the child were white, yes, there would be obstacles in its way along the path of success. But because this child is black, the obstacles mount tenfold. For no other reason than that this child is born black. Before the baby was born, Mrs. Jones worked as a domestic. Mr. Jones operated an elevator in one of those tall, tall buildings downtown. Now let's move ahead 6 years when we find Mr. Jones idling at the piano.
Papa, move over there and let me try that piano.
What's that, sonny? You want to play this thing?
Yeah, you do it. I think I can, too.
You want to play the piano?
Sure do.
Oh, all right. Let me roll up this chair for you so I can reach them keys. There's mighty tiny hands for all this big box. I gotta get your ma to listen to this. Oh, ma. Ma, come in here and listen to your boy playing.
Who, Dad?
Me, Mama. I'm going to be a musician.
You gonna be a what?
I'm going to be a big musician.
Charlie, You know something? His teacher told me that he was fooling around with the piano at school, but I never would have believed it. We gotta give our boy some lessons.
Yes, Negro parents are the same as whites. When a Negro mother and father first learn that their child has a musical talent, they want to do everything they can to help their child gain a musical education. They're not different. Parents are parents, white or black. So Sonny received his musical education at the local neighborhood settlement house. And at 16, he was a promising musician.
Ha ha ha!
Congratulations on your 16th birthday, Sonny.
Thank you, Professor Steinman.
Everybody's proud of you today. You're a very talented pianist and have a wonderful future ahead.
I hope so, Professor Steinman.
Oh, you are gifted. The talent that you have is given only to few. Your fingers are not on every man.
Sonny, how about playing your latest piece for our guests? They all want to hear you play.
Oh, my, you're always making me play and wanting me to show off the folks.
Oh, come on. Now, don't be bashful.
Go ahead, Sonny. Play, play the Chopin number.
Oh, well, all right.
Mrs. Jones, your boy is very gifted.
You really think he has talent, Professor?
Talent? Oh, yes, talent and more. No one must hold him back. He must go further to the conservatory.
Conservatory?
Yes.
Oh, Charlie, Charlie, come here.
Yes, Agnes?
Charlie, Professor Steinman says that our boy ought to go to a conservatory.
Why, that's fine. Wonderful. But, Professor, how much is this going to cost?
Oh, it will be expensive, but well worth it.
How much?
About $125 a month.
But that's more than I make.
Yes, yes, I know. That's always been the trouble. Money.
You've always been nice to us, Professor Steinman. Your settlement house helped us out when we didn't have no money. But them schools, I imagine they want money on the line. I don't make enough. My elevator job can't support no musician. Musicians gotta have clothes. They gotta eat. You gotta buy music. Gotta have car fare to go downtown. Where's Sonny gonna get that? You gotta pay rent, and I ain't getting no younger. Why, just the other day, I thought I'd have to tell Sonny to go out and get a job.
Sonny never entered the conservatory. Simple economics. Instead, Sonny got a job.
Hey, Sonny.
Yeah, Mr. Billy?
Now, cut that out, will you? We don't want to hear none of that stuff. You want to play that fancy music, go to Carnegie Hall.
What?
Now, bang out some boogie-woogie, will you? That's what you're getting paid for. Folks want something hot. And as soon as you finish that number, you come into the kitchen. I want you to give the cook a hand.
Mr. Billy, I'm not doing any more dishwashing.
What's that? What did you say?
I said I'm not going to do any more dishwashing. I'm not getting paid for washing dishes. I was hired here as a piano player, not a dishwasher.
Well, well, well. You're certainly talking up big for a 16-year-old. You know, I can get a white boy to play the piano.
Yeah, but you'd have to pay him more than you pay me. And I'm still not going to wash dishes.
All right, if you feel that way. You're fired.
While Sonny worked at night playing the piano and this joint and that, he was also trying to finish his schooling. Let's look into the classroom and find out what kind of student Sonny is today.
Class dismissed. Sonny. Sonny. Are you all right?
Huh? Oh.
Why, Sonny, you fell asleep.
Yes, ma'am, I did. I'm awfully sorry.
The class is over.
Oh, is it?
What's the matter, Sonny?
I guess I didn't get enough sleep last night.
Well, why not? What happened?
I've been working.
Working? Working at night?
Yes, ma'am. I work at the Moonglow Cabaret until 4 o'clock every morning. I haven't been getting more than a few hours sleep for the last couple of months.
Does your mother know about this?
Yeah, she knows. But that's the way it is. She isn't well, and Pop isn't making too much, and I gotta help out.
You used to be one of my best students. I've been wondering what's come over you lately.
I'm gonna have to quit school.
Oh, I wouldn't like to see that, Sonny. Isn't there some other way out?
I don't think so.
What about your music?
I'm going to have to give that up, too. To be a concert pianist, a fellow needs a lot of things. He's got to have money for lessons and a place to study, some privacy where he can work, proper food, care, rest, and no worry. I've got none of them.
Well, what will you do?
Join a band, I guess. Any band where I can get work.
Yes, the pattern is taking form now. At 15, Sonny has to leave school. There's nothing for this youth to look forward to except a blind alley of opportunity. Let's follow him now as he tries to make his way in the world and grapple with the problem of a boy who has been born a Negro. It's the usual pattern. Most white bands won't hire him because he is a Negro. And colored bands never are offered the same money as white bands. So Sonny secures a job with a honky-tonk band. Goes out on the road to play one mic stands. This, in the parlance of the entertainment industry, means hopping from city to city, playing engagements for only one night in each town. Now, this is a considerable hardship for white bands, but let's see how it works for Sonny and all other Negro entertainers.
All right, folks. Just cross the bridge. All niggers move to the rear of the bus.
But the back seats are all taken.
Don't make no difference. All niggers to the back. There ain't no seats back there. Stand up. You're in the South now.
But these seats in the front of the bus will be empty if we go back there.
That's the law. You're in Virginia, and that's the law.
Sonny and his companions must always ride Jim Crow style throughout the South. To protest means to be thrown in jail. In this case, it would mean that Sonny and his companions would lose a day's work. But discrimination doesn't end in the South. When the band travels through the North, Sonny learns still more.
Want a ham and eggs for that?
Coming up.
Cup of jam or two. Hey, you! What do you want in here?
I'd like to see a menu. I want something to eat.
Don't you know we don't serve no colored in here?
I'm one of the men in the orchestra that's playing at the dance across the street tonight. I just got off the bus, and I haven't had anything to eat all day.
Well, you can't eat in here, bud.
Then where?
Well, there's a colored place across the tracks, 3 or 4 miles down the road.
But I don't have any time.
Well, figure it out your own way. We don't serve colored in here.
Good evening, sir. I'd like a room to sleep tonight.
How did you get in here?
Oh, sorry. Don't tell me. I know. This hotel is for white soldiers.
Sonny is no longer a boy. He is a man who has felt the lash of prejudice. If you were in Sonny's place, you'd be tired and disillusioned when you came home to your mother.
Sonny, tell me all about your trip. How was it? Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it, Mom.
You didn't write.
There was nothing good to write about.
What happened?
Everything. Things I believe more now that they've happened to me. No blacks wanted here. No blacks wanted there. No blacks wanted anywhere. Enough to drive a man nuts.
Well, son, at least you were able to work at the thing you wanted to do.
Playing a piano in a cheap band and being kicked around like you're a dog. That isn't what I wanted.
Well, what can you do, Sonny?
I've learned one thing about some white folks. They're willing to laugh and enjoy Negro performers. But they won't let you eat in the same restaurant, live in the same building, or ride in the same car with them.
You went out in the world and they made you bitter, didn't they, Sonny?
I'm through playing the piano. I hate it. I never want to touch a note again.
But, son, you had a great talent. You were meant to be a great musician.
No, Mom. I'm going to be just like Pop. I'll get an elevator job until the white folks change.
I ain't gonna hear your talk like that. You think the really great people of our race had it easy? You think Paul Robeson, Marian Anderson, Roland Hayes, and Dorothy Maynard, or any of them great artists had it easy? They didn't. They stayed right with their work and made the grade. And all decent thinking people, white and black, are proud of them. No, son. If you're my boy, then you'll hold on and fight to make things better.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Mom. I guess this ain't no time to start going backwards.
The good things of life don't come easy. And the right things don't come easy either. Get your fight back in you.
Sonny's story is the story of thousands of Negroes in the entertainment field today. Traditionally, it is supposed to offer real opportunity for Negroes. But the specter of race prejudice relentlessly pursues the Negro entertainer wherever he turns. What an irony it is. When much of the music that identifies America to the world rose from the voices of American black men. Here and there, though, Negroes have risen to the top. The numbers are few. They can be counted on two hands. One of those is our scintillating guest star today, Hazel Scott. Hazel Scott's story isn't all a success story from the beginning. Talented and pretty, she had a complete musical education in New York. But being gifted wasn't enough. When it was time for Hazel to make her debut as a concert artist, her mother had many difficulties to overcome.
Hazel? I'm not going to let those downtown concert managers break your heart. If one of them doesn't arrange to hire a theater and manage your concert, I'll hire a theater myself right up here in Harlem. You're going to have a concert debut.
Miss Scott meant what she said. She rented the Alhambra Ballroom on 126th Street and 7th Avenue, printed tickets, and sold them to a capacity audience. The newspaper reviews were enthusiastic. But there weren't enough engagements available for Negro concert artists. So Hazel, like Sonny in our story, went into the nightclub field. Here she developed a style of her own. And soon she was recognized by a nightclub owner who had an idea. Present Negroes in their true light, as they are, he said. Not as cheap minstrels. He signed Hazel to a contract at Cafe Society. And on the opening night, the announcement was made to the expectant crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen. We are proud to present a young lady whom we believe has a great future. At this moment, she's an unknown. But before she finishes playing her musical selection, we believe you will acclaim her as a star of tomorrow. She brings with her a brand new piano style. uniquely contributing to music with her swing interpretation of the classics.
And true to prediction, a star was born. Appearances in the films, on stage across the country, have raised Hazel Scott up into the ranks of one of our country's foremost entertainers. And here she is now to introduce her own composition, Miss Hazel Scott.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'd like to play my impression of one of the classics for you. It's one of the Rachmaninoff preludes in C sharp minor.
Canada Lee, distinguished American actor, and Miss Hazel Scott. We invite you to be with us again next Sunday at 3:03. New World A Coming is written by Roy Otley and is based upon Mr. Otley's book by the same name. The program is produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. John Velasco assisted. Music was conducted by Bill Wirtis. The theme song was composed by Duke Ellington. Members of the cast included Maurice Ellis, Hester Sondergaard, Clarence Foster, Hilda Offley, Ralph Bell, Randy Eccles, Maurice Franklin, Raymond Hill. If you'd like to attend a broadcast of New World A Coming, you may obtain tickets by addressing your request to station WMCA, 1657 Broadway, Zone 19, New York City. This was a public service feature of Station WMCA in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee of Harlem. Miss Scott played the Chopin.